Again, this session is on theological training in the local church, and I'm going to give a little scriptural basis to begin with, and then from there, I'm going to explain a little bit about how we do our Grace Institute of Biblical Studies. If you have a Bible handy, I'd like to invite you to open it with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Dr. Andy Woods explained a number of things last night, 9 reasons for the value of the teaching of the Word of God in the local church from chapters 3 and 4 of 2 Timothy. And I'd like to just highlight a few verses here in 2 Timothy as well that underscore for us the importance of theological training in and then through the local church. First, I call your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. We read, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Now, you're familiar with these verses. We recognize, first of all, be strong, literally in the Greek is in the passive. It's literally mean keep on being strengthened in or by means of the grace, and that's found in Christ Jesus. And so, well, apart from this verse, everything that Paul's going to say in chapter 2 would just sound like a set of do's that you need to somehow produce in your life. But when you realize verse 1 and that we're strengthened by means of the grace provisions that are in Christ, then the rest of this begins to make sense from a truly grace basis. And the first thing he emphasizes are the things that you have heard from me. And the things is in reference to the biblical truths, starting with the gospel, that you have heard from me, and Timothy heard these among many witnesses. It just wasn't one-on-one. And here's what it's all about. I want you to commit these things to faithful men. I want you to entrust these biblical truths to not just anthropos, men and women, but to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also. And so we know that Jesus Christ gave Paul the truth. Paul gave Timothy the truth. Timothy now was to give it to faithful men who were able to now teach others also. Now, keep in mind that when Paul is saying this, Timothy's involved in pastoral ministry in the city of Ephesus. And repeatedly, there were, in the early church, no theological seminaries. There were no Bible colleges, per se. In fact, it's interesting to note that there was a conversation that was videoed online in the last 2 years in which some Bible college presidents and seminary presidents in the United States were discussing the present landscape and where everything is going by way of theological training. In doing so, they talked about, by virtue of the fact that they, in many cases, are involved with Pell Grants and various scholarships that involve government money in order to obtain students and so forth, that if they do not go along with the present political correctness, many of them could lose their tax-exempt status. They therefore would not be able to afford their property or the buildings that are on thereof, let alone their staffs. And as a result, they said everything in the next 20 years is probably going to local church ministry and campuses on local churches. I thought, that's really interesting. Because I'm convinced, again, from the Word of God, that that was the first century method. And keep in mind, as I share what I'm going to today, I'm not trying to compete with anyone. I am thankful wherever the Word of God is taught. I would like to share with you, though, some insights from Scripture as well as some application about how those truths have related to Duluth Bible Church, and as a byproduct of that, the Grace Institute of Biblical Studies. And so if these men are going to commit to faithful men, to others, the truths that they have learned, something's necessary for Timothy and for them. Chapter 2, verse 15. We read, "Be diligent," spoudazo here, "to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And that diligence, obviously, is in handling the Word of God, and in doing so to do it accurately. And that's why the King James Version of the Bible says, study to show yourself approved to God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Apart from diligent study of the Word of God, how are you going to communicate those truths to others? And again, remember, in Timothy's paradigm context, it would be local church kind of ministry. Now, along those same lines, go to chapter 3, verse 15. And that from childhood, you, Timothy, have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. And how are you saved? Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, underscoring its origination, underscoring its authority, as well as its sufficiency. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We see that the Word of God makes you wise for salvation. It then leads to sanctification and overflows in service. Now, if we're to study to show ourselves approved, if the Scriptures can do this in our lives, and then through us to others, it only makes sense as we continue chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word. The method is to preach. The object of the preaching is the word. That is what we are to preach. How simple. You know, I just love how God reduces things to simplicity in the Word of God, and yet we're prone to complicate it. Preach the Word, and be ready in season and out of season. And I like how most translations communicate the next word: reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering, patience, and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own lusts, because they have itching ears, they will keep up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Preach the word. But how can they preach if they haven't studied? And how can they study if they haven't been taught? From those who know the word of God. And that is why, as Pastor Tom Stiegel set forth in a session yesterday, again, we see the pattern in Ephesians 4. And he himself, the ascended Christ, gave to his church some to be apostles and some prophets, which, according to Ephesians 2:20, were necessary for the foundation of the church, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did he give all of them? He gave them for the equipping of the saints. What is that to result in? The work of the ministry. What does that then result in? The edifying of the body of Christ. And keep in mind, remember that as important as learning sound doctrine is, nevertheless, it's not an end in itself, but a means to a greater end, to know, trust, worship, fellowship, and love Jesus Christ, and to make him known to the lost by way of evangelism, and to the saved by way of edification. And therefore, it is our objective as pastors and teachers to equip the saints. To equip the saints. So they could do the work of the ministry, resulting in the edifying of the body of Christ. For how long? Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Now notice, we don't come to the unity of the faith in the sense that we compromise the faith to get there. The objective is to come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. To what end? That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. How but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, and to him who is the head, Christ. From whom, Christ, the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And so we see here that it is the objective of God to take the Word of God to point us to the Son of God, that we might be saved and we would grow and serve Him as the Lord leads us. And the context, again, of all of this, besides missionary journeys, were local churches. In fact, the Great Commission ultimately finds its end product in establishing local churches who then carry out the commission in their areas and spheres of ministry. And so, again, we're really sold on the local church here. Thankful wherever the Word of God is taught, but with a strong emphasis, again, on the local church. And you know, the way we train pastors, or we even select pastors in our day, is really foreign to the Scriptures, as far as the United States is concerned. I mean, when there was a need at the Church of Ephesus, they didn't call anybody in Rome interested. You know, they didn't do that. Where did they train them? They trained them right within. In fact, I got a call from a man on a pastoral search committee here in the last month, looking to find a pastor for a grace-oriented, Bible-teaching, dispensational church. You know how hard that is to find a pastor for a church along those lines? Incredibly hard. And he wondered if I knew of anyone who might be interested. We talked about this. And I said, I understand. As a church, this is where you're at, and you're going to have to find someone from without. But that's why years ago at Duluth Bible Church, we started to train from within. Because the best way to perpetuate your doctrine and the best way to perpetuate your direction of your church is by those who have been part of it. And by the way, that's the best way to know the pastoral candidate, whether he really meets the qualifications of 1 Timothy 3 or not. The way we normally do it is like dating someone and offering to marry her on your first weekend. Because the average church has a pastor, they do some kind of pre-process and meeting, and then he comes and preaches maybe twice on a weekend, meets some families, and the church votes on them. How would you like to get married that way? Well, in the Old Testament, they did by arrangement, right? But then we're talking about the New Testament church here. But that's the way we tend to do it. Now, by the grace of God, sometimes it works out. Did you know that my father proposed to my mother on their first date? And they had 63 years of a blessed marriage. Now, they waited a year before they got married, but he asked on the first weekend. So sometimes that does work out. But that isn't the way we normally approach it. You normally want to make that kind of huge, life-changing decision, usually on a weekend. And we resolved years ago, by the grace of God, if we didn't have to do that, we didn't want to do that. Now, as we think of the Grace Institute of Biblical Studies, let me give you a little history that might kind of fill in some blanks of where we came from and kind of where we are today. You know, I attended Appalachian Bible College back in 1975 through 1977. I only went 2 years to Bible college. I went there because I wanted to learn the Word of God, and I'm thankful for what I got there. But after 2 years, I was really resolved in my own heart, from my own study of the Scriptures, that, you know, equipping ideally should be done in the local church. And so what I did was I actually left Bible college after 2 years, and I went home and I sat under my pastor, Pastor Leonard Radke. And Pastor Leonard Radke was a very gifted man. He was very evangelistic. On the one hand, he had a heartbeat for the lost. On the other hand, he loved to teach the Word of God. On the other hand, he was gifted in exhortation. And the Lord really used him in a lot of ways. And I just sat there trusting the Lord that if he wanted me in pastoral ministry, he'd work it out. But before I left Appalachian, I remember telling the Lord, Lord, if you ever want me to pastor a local church, by God's grace, I'd like to train them from within. So we don't have to send in some ways our best people somewhere else. That they wouldn't have to quit their jobs and move somewhere else. And that they could be a blessing right within our local church. and so forth. Well, as time went on, as you know, I began teaching here in Duluth in 1981. I became the pastor in 1985 of a group of about 100 believers at that time. I quit my secular job and moved down from the Iron Range with Nancy and have been here ever since. About 1986, maybe 1987, we started having Bible conferences here, and our first speaker was Pastor Jay Chappell, who pastored at North Stonington Bible Church in Connecticut. Now, Jay has gone home to be with the Lord, but when Jay would come, and he came for several years in a row there, we would talk about this very issue. How could we train men within the local church? Because Jay, like myself, had had some bad experiences in some ways. They had sent some men into seminary straight and they came out crooked. Or what happened is their loyalty shifted from the local church to the seminary or the Bible college or other kinds of things that went on. So every year we talk about how to do this. And then in 1990, if I recall correctly, I went to a little Bible conference in Kalamazoo, Missouri, Michigan, in which Dr. John Whitcomb was the speaker. Now, I had heard Dr. Whitcomb before. He was very well known, as you know, especially in light of writing on the Genesis flood, but beyond that. In fact, Grace Seminary and John Whitcomb were usually said in the same breath, and they had just fired John Whitcomb from Grace Seminary after 35 years of ministry because he was blowing the whistle on psychobabble in the university or in the seminary. And that was in February he was fired and he was going to retire in May. And so I'm sitting here talking to Dr. Whitcomb and he says to me this. He says, you know, Dennis, if I had to do it all over again, I'd do it in the local church. And I thought, ooh, there's another kick in the butt. That's what I needed to hear. And then, in 1990, if I recall correctly, I went to this pastor's conference at Beth Haven Church in Kansas City. And while I was there, I went and visited Calvary Bible College and sat down with Dr. Leslie Madison. And in doing so, I began to talk to him, and he says, so where do you send the kids in your church to Bible college? And I said, well, I don't. He said, no. I said, no, I just believe they should be trained in the local church. He says, really, so how many have been trained? I said, none. That's pretty humbling, you know. None. I said, but by the grace of God, I think something's going to happen. Well, at the same time, in about 1988 or so, Scott Johnson had approached me and says, I'm thinking about applying for Grace Seminary. Why? And he says, I just want to get more training. I want to maybe go in the ministry. And I said, just hold tight. I think we're going to do something. And then around 1991 or so, Kurt Witzig approached me and said, I'm thinking about applying at such and such a school because I really want to, you know, maybe go into the ministry. And I said, just sit tight. I think we're going to do something. And then Chet McCauley, who's been here several times before he went home to be with the Lord, I was talking to him one day, and he says, you know, Dennis, I really think that's the direction you need to go. And then I had a believer. You know how the Lord has a way of just kind of keeping you moving. I had a woman ask me, in light of my home church after Pastor Radke died, there was some problems that happened in the church split. And she says to me, well, what are you planning to do to prevent what happened at Heritage Trail Bible Church? And I says, well, we're planning to do this. And what came out of all of that was the Grace Institute of Biblical Studies. Now, this was our first class. These guys look a little older now, don't they? So I don't even recognize them. Well, here's Sean Laughlin right here. Here's Scott Johnson. Here's Tom Stiegel. Here's Dave Knudsen. Here's Pete Tranvig. Here's Kurt. And some of the other fellows as well. There were 10 students that started. There was 5 years. All 10 that started finished, and we never started another class until we were done. And we really stepped out by faith and by braille. We really didn't know what we were doing. Except the fact that we were convinced that training should be done in the local church, teach them the Word of God, give them equipping on a practical level as well, and see what the Lord will do. And it has been pretty amazing in some ways. the Lord actually has done by His grace. Now, I try to make it clear to the believers here at Duluth Bible that you do not have to be in Gibbs to get equipped for ministry. There was a lot of ministry that was going on before we ever started Gibbs. And there's a lot of ministry that goes on even by those who have never been part of Gibbs. And just because they finished Gibbs doesn't mean that the Lord was going to use them and such. Some aren't doing much of anything with what they learned, though the majority are. And again, I'm thankful wherever the Word of God is taught in truth. But as a result of coming to this conviction and conclusion, we began, again, the Grace Institute of Biblical Studies there in 1992. Our mission statement is this, and again, this is all in the brochure you'll get at the end of the session here. The purpose of Gibbs is to be an instrument in God's hand to provide grace-oriented teaching, training, and materials to interested believers in order to further establish, equip, and encourage them to faithfully fulfill the ministry God has given them by His grace. That's the mission statement. Therefore, we believe the need for a specialized training and equipping ministry of this nature is evident due to several reasons. First of all, because the majority of Bible colleges and seminaries in our land deny in doctrine or practice the authority and sufficiency of Scripture. The majority of them do that. Secondly, because most institutions of this nature function independent of and apart from the auspices of the local church, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. And thirdly, because of the evident need and desire to equip men and women with a grace-oriented doctrine in a specialized and affordable way for particular avenues of ministry that require specific and practical training. See, I think that by the grace of God through the pulpit ministry and personal interaction, many people get encouraged, equipped, and established. And it should be that way. But if someone's going into the pastorate, if they're going into other kinds of specialized ministry, they need more than that. And that's why we started the Grace Institute, to help people who wanted more than that. See, what are our objectives? Ultimately, the purpose of the Grace Institute is designed to glorify God through equipping believers to be faithful servants slash teachers of the gospel of grace through the faithful exposition of His Word for the building up of the body of Christ. And see, everything in Gibbs is really centered around a teaching ministry, ultimately to teach the Word. A graduate of Gibbs should be able to teach with clarity and scriptural authority. Clarity and scriptural authority. And that scriptural authority, remember, the authority is vested in the Word, not you. And that's why it must be rightly divided and by God's grace communicated in a clear, accurate, practical, and simple way. A graduate should be able to serve with love and effectiveness in and through his or her local church. And one of the very important courses we have in Gibbs is called The Church, God's Masterpiece. A graduate should be able to defend and contend for the faith. A graduate should be used by God to equip other believers to also teach others the Word of God. There's that 2 Timothy 2:2 concept. And lastly, to lead with conviction and example. You know, in essence, saying, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Now, we understand we can't manufacture a pastor. God gives pastors. We can't even mature believers. Growth comes from the Lord as people walk in fellowship and take the Word of God in and apply it. But we can equip those who are saved and those who are growing so that they could be effective by the grace of God in the ministry God has for them. And thus, our focus in Gibbs is on biblical understanding. It's on personal growth, and it's on ministry preparation. That's what our focus is about. Everything in Gibbs is designed ultimately for ministry. It's not just to get new information. It's ultimately for ministry, and it's all geared that way. And that's why our emphasis in Gibbs is on, first of all, on sound Bible teaching involving verse-by-verse exposition. maintaining important biblical distinctions that you don't hear today, like Israel versus the church, the three tenses of salvation, and on we go. It's involving strong preaching, not being afraid to call a spade a shovel, teaching the Word of God in a way that resonates with people. It's involved doctrinal understanding. It involves the ability to navigate through contemporary theological issues, as well as with the design that everything that is taught to our students can be taught then by our students. You know, how many courses do people get in a Bible college that they never will turn around and really teach, as it were? And really, the courses that we teach are all designed to then turn around and be taught in a church. In fact, in our foreign ministry, when we're involved in El Salvador and other places, we give them duplicates of every handout. Every handout that we give them, they get a second one. The PowerPoints we show, they get a set of the PowerPoints. So it's all designed to be taught in their local church context. And they do. They do, and it's pretty amazing. So that's our emphasis on sound Bible teaching. And secondly, it's on a clear gospel. A clear gospel. Again, you know 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that's not only necessary for justification, but according to Colossians 2, 6 and 7, it is also the very way you live the Christian life. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, in his work. And you know, in our day, it's hard to hear a clear gospel. It's even harder to hear a clear explanation of sanctification by grace. But the battle is not new. Even in Paul's day, Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be. Thirdly, an emphasis is on grace teaching for godly Christian living. Godly Christian. Understanding the three tenses of salvation, as Dr. Woods brought out last night. Again, as basic as that is, most people haven't even heard that. And it's interesting, I was asked recently to write an endorsement by Ann Fenske here for a book that's coming forth, written by old Dr. William McCarroll, the original founder of the IFCA, on Romans 8. And I was just so delighted that, one, the gospel was totally clear. Didn't garble it at all. Number two, he talks about the three tenses of salvation, as explained in Romans 8 even. And I thought, this was, I think, standard fare years ago. But it isn't today. And that's why I was motivated to write the book on salvation in three time zones, because I didn't know of any book that was ever just devoted to that subject. This is something we're going to emphasize. This is positional identification, hard to find. Romans 6 teaching. Colossians 3 teaching. Ephesians 4 teaching. And true spirituality versus fleshly counterfeits. And there are a lot of counterfeits out there. A lot of mysticism that's out there. A lot of legalism that's out there. Instead of true grace living. So who is Gibbs for? Well, we make it clear Gibbs isn't for everyone. It's for those believers in Christ who have a God-given desire and dedication to learn the Word of God and minister for our Lord in specific ministries within or through the local church. Sensing the need for adequate and further preparation and training for those whom God is leading toward a ministry in the pastorate, missions, youth ministry, teaching, evangelism, etc., Gibbs has been established. You know, we really downplay Gibbs in our church. I don't talk about it much. Don't say a lot about it. I don't want Gibbs students walking around saying, you know, I'm a Gibbs student. You know? Yeah, you've got a head big enough that you could comb it with a rake. You know? I don't want it to be a badge of spirituality. It's not a way to make a name for themselves. It's for those who really have a hunger to learn God's word and really ultimately want to teach it. Though most Gibbs students coming into Gibbs don't know where that would happen. In fact, in some cases, they don't even know if they're gifted to do that. And we hopefully, by the end of phase one, as I'll explain, give them some opportunities to teach so they can find out if they're gifted or not. Because you don't want to go through all this and find out you can't deliver the goods. What a waste of your time in some ways. Now again, all believers have a ministry. And there's no believers in part-time Christian ministry. The regular study, fellowship, and ministry opportunities in our local church, in many ways, are sufficient to equip the average believer for the work of ministry. And yet again, for specialized kind of ministries, something more, we believe, is needed. Now, what are some of the benefits of Gibbs? Now, I'm talking about traditional Gibbs, the way we've done it all these years, that is centered, again, in the local church. One, specific instruction from God's word in a clear, accurate, practical manner that is all designed for ministry in or through the local church. There are no superfluous classes. Everything that is learned has a very direct purpose as it relates to equipping a believer for ministry. Secondly, spiritual interaction with spiritual leaders and other growing believers in a small group setting. Again, that iron sharpening iron, that opportunity to really know even your teachers. And thirdly, supervised involvement in various ministries of the local church to get a first-hand experience in ministry. And so they not only are involved, but they get supervised involvement where people are involved with them over the course of time and help them get prepared for the kind of ministry God has for them. Now, what options are available for you in Gibbs, or available in Gibbs? Now, let me just say this, that this is new. Some of this I'm going to explain. It's not in concrete yet. Lord willing, it will begin. Some of these in the fall of 2017, if we go with a Gibbs online ministry, in addition to our traditional way of doing it. So here's what the options will be. We plan, Lord willing, to have 4 study options for Gibbs students by the fall of 2017 to provide grace-oriented Bible teaching and training to those who are desirous of pursuing it. First of all, there will be totally online independent studies. This would be available for a student like most online classes in our day by watching the enrolled class via videos and then taking the required exams online with some interaction with the Gibbs administrator or teachers. The student may start a class anytime and move as fast as they're able and willing, though there are time limits to finish each class session to keep students moving and completing their courses. Now, this is not the ideal, because, again, they're getting sound doctrine that can benefit them, but to what degree are they involved in the local church side of it? That's another question. But we feel there's value and them hearing the sound doctrine either way. Option number 2 is online class interactive studies. This would involve an announced class that the enrolled student would participate in by watching a class such as Gibbs at DBC or an archive message or perhaps even via Skype, then interacting with other students in class in threaded discussions, taking the exams, etc. This differs from number 1 as it is taken as a class with others and with online interaction versus a total independent study. And again, these are not new. This is what many places use. Option number 3 would be long-distance learning centers. This involved local church groups, which meet every week to watch 1 or 2 class videos, discuss them, take exams, etc. To accomplish this, the pastor or an administrator in these settings will need to be personally involved with these students. The leader facilitator would be the point contact person for the class, grade the papers, answer questions. And so here's when you have a group of people, maybe 3, 4, 5, 10, that are all meeting in their local church. They get together, let's say on Tuesday night, and they watch a video or they watch 2 videos, and there's some facilitator that's going through that with them. And hopefully then can even implement that and even give them opportunities to teach or apply that within their local church. And then number 4 is the traditional way we've done it. These classes would be held at Duluth Bible Church with our sister churches, watching a live webcast like we have done over these many years. So they watch it, they take their exams, and they're involved with their pastors and their local churches. And we have several local churches, churches we planted or were connected with somehow, that are involved in the traditional way we have done it for 20 plus years. What courses will the GIVES offer? Now, a few years ago, we made a change, maybe 10 years ago now. When we first started GIVES, when you started GIVES, you were in GIVES for 5 years, or you were out. I mean, you were in and out. There was no options to stop along the way, pick it up later, kind of a deal. But what we've done now is a few years ago we began phases. Now you might call them other things. We call them phases. Phase one is to be established in foundational sound doctrine. Partly because, especially if we go online, we're not going to assume they know this. And we don't want to even assume if they're here they know it. We want to make sure they're established. Phase two is expanded in sound doctrine and general biblical knowledge and introduced to Bible study methods. So now they're starting to get into the text themselves a little more, starting to understand what's involved. Though all of that really elevates and intensifies in phase three, where they're really involved in exegesis and getting further equipped to serve in their local church. And then phase four involves expository preaching, exposure to the issues of the day, and eschatology. Now, it's not that we're not going to touch on eschatology prior to that, but we're going to teach the whole book of Revelation as part of that in phase four and so forth. So what courses will we offer? Well, in phase one, again, what we're going to offer, our first course is just this little course called By This Name. You ever see the book? By This Name, written by John Cross, Good Seed International, which really develops God's plan of salvation from creation to Christ. And that's a totally online class. It's already developed. The students take it and usually finish it within a couple, 3 weeks or so, maybe a month. And we have tests already designed for that and everything. The second one is what we call pondering the page. Now, let me just explain this for a minute. At the beginning of every GIVES session here in Duluth, I devote about 20 to 30 minutes in a little devotional called pondering the page. Now, some students initially don't think that's important. By the time they're done, many of them tell me that's their favorite part of GIVES. And part of it is because I'm taking some truths and I'm really discussing it with them, talking, teaching them right where they're at. Just very meaningful things. And our first one will be on some key verses to remember, like 2 Corinthians 3, 5, and 6. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. John 15, 4 and 5, and so on. And then we have Romans. And Romans, again, is our foundational class. And what we do after the pondering the page is we teach modules. This is what we've done now. And we're going to teach Romans till we're done with Romans. Chapters 1 through 8. 18 lessons, Romans 1 through 5. Romans 6 through 8 are another 18 lessons. So if you do the math, 3 lessons a night, besides pondering, you're talking about 6 nights to finish the one, 6 nights to finish the other. Now, this is the course that we teach when we do missionary outreach anywhere around the world. This is where we start. So this is a good place for them to get grounded and then turn around. And again, everything is designed to be taught to other people as well. And then, in the second part of that first phase, we have pondering the page, and we go over lessons from the Upper Room Discourse, which we taught as a group at the Fall Bible Conference here. Was it last year? Yeah, didn't we try that? It was last year, wasn't it? Yeah. And so I'm just going to do some highlights in the Upper Room Discourse that lend itself to pointing people to the sufficiency of Christ. Then we start a class called Biblical Distinctions, and that's 1 and 2. Now, in doing that, we cover the three tenses. We cover the difference between positional forgiveness and parental. We cover the difference between Israel and the church, the seven dispensations, the eight covenants, and so forth, the seven deaths of the Bible, the seven baptisms in the Bible, the various resurrections in the Bible, and what does the kingdom of God mean in the Bible, and things like that. And we have found, our students have found this extremely helpful. In the pastors we teach in other places, between Romans and distinctions, when they have that foundation, you can teach them almost anything. And then we have a course on effective evangelism missions, because again, we want to equip them to get it out, right? And then we have a class on dispensations. And then we have, now we've moved this up, some ministry practicums. Because we know some people may only take phase one. So we're going to teach them how to teach what they've learned so far. They can't do original exegesis, but they could communicate at least what they've learned. We're going to also teach them how to teach children or how to start a Sunday school and various other kinds of things like that. Again, to be of benefit. And all of this includes 96 lessons to complete phase one. For an on-site student at DBC, that's a year and a half. Because remember, at Duluth Bible Church, the way we do it is we meet only every other Monday night from 6 to 10 p.m. And they do homework assignments between those. And we're trying to accommodate again. The person is working a full-time job. The person is a parent. The person who may already be involved in some kind of ministry to give them this. And so the process is going to take longer than a full-time student at a Bible college or seminary in some ways. Now, phase two is expanded in sound doctrine and general biblical knowledge and introduced the Bible study method. And so again, we're going to have our pondering, the page time, and we're going to then have a little series on the Bible, God's Amazing Book, which is just a quick study of bibliology. And then we're going to do Bible study methods and rules of interpretation. And we use actually BTCP, Bible Training Center for Pastors, their manuals for this particular. And then we're going to have one on learning how to use some Logos computer software, and at least an introductory level, so they can start to get to use this somewhat. And then we're going to have an intro to exegesis. We're going to introduce them to exegesis, and we're going to use eternal security problem passages as the opportunity to learn how to use it. Hebrews 6, Hebrews 10, 2 Peter 2, John 15, 6, and so forth and so forth. Passages people bring up to try to deny eternal security. Colossians 1:23, and so forth. We're going to teach Galatians by the grace of God, and then we're going to do pondering. And in pondering there, we're going to go through 2 Timothy, work our way through it. And again, highlighting key things, especially for pastoral type ministry. And then we have Old Testament Survey 1, 2, and 3. So again, we want every student of Gibbs to have a good knowledge of the Bible, every book of the Bible, understand its key theme of each book, the flow of thought, key verse, various other things. And then we have English grammar. And Mrs. Carol Helen has taught this over the years, very helpful. And what's called block diagramming is called other things, but in doing so, we teach them again how to take a passage in the English and start to break it down. Main subject, main verb, main object, subordinate points, coordinate points, so forth. This differs from word-by-word diagramming, though that's also taught in English grammar. And this is capturing the thought. In fact, it's kind of interesting. I saw the Greek text, Greek book from, was it the Greek book? It was some book from William Mounts. You've heard of Mounts? Yeah. And he says over the years, his students have sent him letters and told him this, that the number one thing they remember, the number one thing they use to this day from his class was the block diagram. It's also called recreating. It's called different kinds of things. But I think Kaiser calls it block diagram. And then we have a little series on, Oh Death, Where's Your Sting? As things related to death, the resurrection, heaven, hell, so forth. And again, this takes 123 lessons to complete phase two. For an on-site student at DBC, it's going to take 2 years. Meeting every other Monday night, summer's off, holidays off, per se. So again, this is a pretty major commitment. Phase three is exegesis and getting further equipped to serve in your local church. So now we're really going to start getting to more into things that will benefit them in studying the Word of God. And again, we have our pondering. I have a little series on the faith rest life. I want them to understand this better. Colossians as well. Again, every one of these will have a verse-by-verse exposition of a book. Now we move to English composition, now that you've had grammar. And in doing so, we have also New Testament survey. One, New Testament survey. Two, another pondering, and now we're starting to get into basic Greek. And again, in light of the software that's available today, we're convinced, in many cases, getting some real basic Greek down and then the ability to use your software so you know what is a present active indicative second person singular, what does that mean, can be of great help. For the average, even pastor, it seems in many cases to be sufficient. And then biblical exegesis as well. And again, English grammar is going to tie into this, Greek's going to tie into this, and I work the students through how to do basic exegesis. And then we have our series on the Church God's Masterpiece 1 and 2, because again, all of this is geared ultimately to be used in the local church. And again, 126 lessons to complete phase 3. Again, 2 years on site. And then phase 4. Expository preaching, exposure to the issues of the day in eschatology. And again, we're going to go over expository preaching. Now, I will have taught them some things in phase one about teaching. This will just be expanded here as well. And then we also have 1 Peter, spiritual gifts in the local church, which I just taught actually here. Number one and number two, I taught it to our whole church. Contemporary theological issues, we deal again, and I'll have touched on this before, we'll develop it even in greater way, the issues of lordship, salvation, Calvinism, spiritual warfare, and on we could go. Contemporary theological issues. Creationism, gender issues. We have to keep adding to our list as we keep degenerating in the country. Then we have the book of Revelation 1 and 2 will be taught as well. And then we end up with Romans 9 through 16. We finally kind of make the inclusive here. And finish up with Romans. And again, these are 126 lessons to complete phase 4, 2 years on site at DBC. Or as fast as you can go online. Now, some of these are not going to be available online until they're taught. Some of them have already been taught. We already have captured it. And so there's a combination of all of this. Please keep in mind that while some of these courses in phase 1 through 4 have already been taught and videoed, others of them will be taught and made available in the future. In addition, these systematic courses build upon each other, and therefore they must normally be taken sequentially in order, except for the pondering the page devotionals that can be taken while taking another class, just like we do. All classes are approximately 60 minutes long, except for the pondering, and they are without charge or free, but required. The pondering. For on-site students, it'll take 7.5 years, basically, to complete all phases of Gibbs. And that's part of the reason why we did it in phases, because some might say, you know, I'm content after phase one. I have what I need. Some will say, no, I want two. Some will say three. Some will take all four. So it's longer than it used to be. It's more comprehensive than it used to be, but it's in phases. And again, keep in mind that unlike a full-time student at a university, the students only attend class 4 hours every other week. So what does Gibbs cost? Now, in the past, we've had little to no cost to Gibbs, but we're starting to charge a little because there are some costs involved, especially if we do this online. And in fact, we would really like, in some ways, if the Lord were to see fit, to be able to provide for a full-time administrator paid for Gibbs, if the Lord were to provide that. So for national students, for students living in the United States or Canada, The cost per course is going to just be $50 per short course or $100 per longer course, which you know is peanuts compared to what courses cost these days. But it will help, you know, defray some of our costs. Thus, for a student to complete GIPS, phase 1, 2, 3, and 4, if you do the math, it adds up to just over $3,000 for the whole kit. International students, on the other hand, we're not going to charge if they live outside of this, those two countries. We just are going to make it available online for them free of charge. Now again, this is assuming by the grace of God all this gets put into place, and we're moving in that direction. In fact, for those people like Andy Woods, I know JB, Mark Danielson, and others who have taught online classes, we'd love to pick your brains a little bit. Because our number one issue here isn't really the teaching of the classes, and it's not the video of the classes. It's how to grade them without having to have a person grading it all. We'd like to grade them online if we could. And to interact then with students as need requires. What degrees will be offered in GIPS? And by the way, according to the state of Minnesota, we can't offer degrees. We just can't offer the same degrees that the secular universities offer. And in the past, Grace Biblical Seminary out of Atlanta has approached us and said that anyone who's a graduate of GIPS, we will give them a degree. And so some of our students have degrees now and such because they said we've seen the product and the result and we'll be glad to do that. So we want to approach this too in light of the four phases. Though I will say this, our bottom line is we don't think degrees are all that important to us anyhow. Because there's intrinsic value in learning the Word of God. On the other hand, we do live in a culture where degrees do mean something. In fact, in Zambia, you can't start a church if you don't have a degree. In India, if you go there and you don't have a degree, they're probably not going to listen to you. Because they're into degrees, right? In some churches in the United States, they won't even consider you if you don't have a degree. Now, I don't find that in Scripture. But I also recognize that if a degree can get your foot in the door, according to 1 Corinthians 9, to become all things to all men, that you might by all means save some and such, there could be value in that. And so we're offering degrees. Now, the names of these degrees are still up in the air a little bit, but phase 1 would just be a certificate of completion of biblical studies. Phase 2 would be an associate degree in biblical studies. Phase 3 might be called a Bachelor of Biblical Exegesis in Advanced Biblical Studies. And phase 4 might be called a Master of Grace Theology and Ministry. And so we do want to offer degrees, and this is meaningful, especially to foreign students, though some national students as well. And again, the advantages of GIBS are thoroughly biblical in its explanations with applications from a pastoral standpoint. It's not that we're not academic, but everything is, again, approaching this thing from a pastoral standpoint in order to be used in local church kind of ministry. Grace-oriented in its doctrinal teaching, starting with the gospel. Taught by pastors and teachers with years of experience. Extremely reasonable in its cost for students in the USA and Canada, and even free of charge for international students. Is accessible to you in your geographical location without having to move from your home. All teaching is designed to be transferable and easily taught in your own local church, home Bible study, etc. This method of training has been tried and tested for over 20 years and is presently being used in several countries of the world. So we're not newbies at this, though we keep learning and we still want to keep improving in how we do this. This was the GIBS class with some of the teachers in 2013 that were involved in this. In fact, as I thought about it, with the graduating class this January, we'll have graduated 40 graduates. Because remember, in the past, we never started a new class until previous class had completed everything. We're starting to overlap now. So we have around 40 graduates. We have 40 graduates, 8 serving as pastors or elders, 6 serving as deacons, 10 new graduates who will serve the Lord as, question mark, 2 involved in youth ministry, 3 involved in college ministry, many involved in Bible teaching, some involved in potential church planning, several having gone and taught on mission trips In fact, as you know, what we teach in Gibbs here, we actually teach most of it in the Grace Institutes that we've done, for example, in El Salvador. And then we turn it over to local churches to perpetuate it among themselves. So in El Salvador today, there are 150 churches that are preaching the gospel of grace, sound doctrine, dispensational truth, just in this area of El Salvador alone, that we're not doing that 10 years ago. We have around 100 graduates here in El Salvador from our Grace Institutes, with over 200 students having been taught at our institutes. In 2010, we began in Nicaragua. We have a Grace Institute in Managua. We have one in Ometepe. We have one in Nueva Guinea. And as a result, we have 80 students right now that are studying in those three locations that are designed to graduate next year. In Africa, in Zambia, we just had our first graduation of 65 students there in Lusaka and Livingston, Zambia, and we have over 100 students presently in Nairobi that meet as well. And so we're perpetuating this in other places, and by the grace of God, He's using it to help further equip pastors and teachers, and many of the students are pastors. In fact, I read somewhere that over 90%, 90-some percent of the pastors in the world today have never had any formal training. And so, in a sense, we're bringing the seminary to them. What are the application requirements for Gibbs? In a traditional Gibbs student here at DVC or our sister churches, at least 22 years of age. We found a little older is better. Sometimes at 18, they're just too immature. A believer in Christ for at least 2 years, a willingness to be faithful and teachable, and a regular attendant of DVC for at least 2 years. And this is, we've lowered the standard a little. When we first started Gibbs, you had to be saved for 5 years under teaching for 5 years, and you had to be 25 years old. And Tom Stiegel was 24 and a half. And we graced him in. He got in that first class. He's glad he did. When it comes to online students, we're going to make it a little easier for them, at least 18 years of age, a believer in Christ, and a willingness to be faithful and teachable student is unto the Lord. We have found wherever we go in other countries, we give this little survey as we begin Romans. It has four questions basically on it besides background. Number one, if you were to die, do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven? Number two, why would you go to heaven? Number three, check the following conditions to go to heaven. There are 12. Only one is right. In fact, there's 13. There's another. And number four, does sin in the life of the believer break union with Christ, communion with Christ, or both? See if they understand eternal security. Now, we have given out that survey to probably 3,000 people around the world. How many people have got it right the first time? Three. We've had some people check all 12 conditions and add the 13. So then what we do is after we teach Romans 1 through 5 and we clarify the gospel, how you're saved and how you're not saved, we give them it again, and then normally we get about 80% have it nailed in 3 days. Now, how established are they? I don't know, but they're getting it. They got it. It cleared up. Now, in doing so, we've also taught on eternal security there at time. We've taught, if you can't lose salvation, what can you lose? A lot of the contents of my book, And Shall Never Perish Forever, are taught. That's woven into that Romans series. And then we begin Romans 6 through 8. Now, how many people have ever heard that before? Hardly anybody. And so, it's very exciting. The most explosive times when we teach in other countries are when we go over how you're not saved, when we go over eternal security, when we go over the role of women in the church, and we go over the gifts. Those are the most explosive times. But usually by the time we teach on the gifts, they've heard enough sound doctrine, and they said, you know, we've been wrong on everything else. Maybe we're wrong here too. And they tend to be very teachable and get it by that time. And so that gives you a little idea of what we've been doing. I'm not saying every church has to do this. This is how the Lord has led us. I'm not saying every student that graduated from Gibbs is this great. No, that hasn't always been true either. But the Lord has used it by His grace, and we want to keep doing it. We're starting a new class of students in January, and I've already met with them in an informational meeting, and we're going to make the applications available for them. And this is something we've been approached. In fact, I get a request probably every month from somebody out there that says, have you ever considered starting Gives Online? We'd like to access this without moving to Duluth. And I understand that need. I've had pastors approach me and say, we'd like to do this in our local church, and I would work with them. We'd watch them, da-da-da-da-da, if you could provide that for us. And we'd like to do that. Not because we're the only means or the only church, we're not. But we're a means that is meeting a need in the lives of some individuals in some churches. And we'd like to be used of the Lord if He would see fit to do that. So let me open it up for questions here. If you have a question, Tom, would you come here and be the walking microphone? Can we have this mic on? Okay.
You may come back to me a couple times, just to let you know. First question I have is based upon the program, is this the full four phases designed for men and women?
Yes, good question. All phases are designed for men and women, though we make it very clear to the women that the biblical mandate does limit them when it comes to being pastors. But as far as missionaries or youth ministry or college ministry and various other ways, they can teach, but they can't teach men, per se, according to 1 Timothy 2, or have authority over men, according to 1 Timothy 2.
And the second question I have is, for the individual who just wants to know more,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily be in full-time ministry
yep.
or teach a Sunday school class, but just wants to know more, is there a particular phase you take them to, or say?
Phase one.
Phase one, that's it?
And after phase one, we have found some of them are like, man, I want to go on to phase two. Others of them are like, you know, I'm happy with phase one. I think this is what I'll need. So phase one is all designed to be foundational, really get them established in sound doctrine. And then if they want to go on from there. But what we do, Will, is this. After phase one, we require they teach some Romans classes in some context, adult Sunday school class, home Bible study, something in conjunction with their church, ideally, to see if they like to teach. Have they, you know, do they have some giftedness, some real motivation along those lines? You know, I remember Harry Ironside saying years ago, pity the man who feels called to preach and nobody feels called to listen. So we want to give them some of that opportunity. We also teach them how to do the Stranger on the Road to Emmaus, which is, again, like by this name, and how to do a home study. And we also are developing, based on my book, I'm Saved, Now What?, kind of a more of a one-on-one kind of discipleship kind of walkthrough. Again, give them opportunities in all those kind of ways. Okay?
Very good.
Very good. Other questions you might have?
I'm not sure if I missed this, but I saw you going through your curricula. I didn't see Hebrew. Do you teach Hebrew?
Are you
planning on bringing it in, or
yeah,
what's your thinking on?
Very good question. Yeah, we do not teach Hebrew. We don't have anyone qualified to do it here, but I do have a set of Hebrew videos by Gary Crandall, who teaches through basic Hebrew, and that would be available for students, but that would be an addition. They want to take it on the side, and which would be very helpful. It's just that we don't really have anyone trained to do it. Did you take Hebrew?
Yeah, on my own, but there's so many options out there for people to learn Hebrew, you know, with workbooks and videos, and Zondervan has a great package right now with
Yeah, and Tom teaches our basic Greek course as well. Mm-hmm. And again, we're not against advanced Greek, but we're just going to give them basic, and if they want to move and find an advanced course, they're available, you know, per se. Go ahead.
We do want to offer as extra credit postgraduate for Gibbs year 8 and 9 courses in Ugaritic and Akkadian. So.
Ugaritic, you mean?
Ugaritic. Not meagritic, Ugaritic.
Go ahead.
The degree program that you have with Atlanta Grace, what's the school in Atlanta?
Yes.
What's the school?
Grace Biblical Seminary.
Grace Seminary. What degree are they offering, or what degree do they give out?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, what they do is, if you don't have an undergraduate degree, they will give you a bachelor's in...
Biblical studies, I think?
Or yeah. If theology? If you have a bachelor's degree, they will give you a master's degree.
Master of Theological Studies, a two-year degree, basically.
Mm-hmm. And they do offer doctorates, too. Have I talked to Calvary Bible College? Actually, I had an hour-long conversation with the new president, Christopher Cohn, in the last month. Yeah, I had a very nice conversation with him, kind of hear what they're doing and so forth. So,
because I'm attending Calvary right now.
Okay.
To finish my undergraduate.
Okay.
And obviously, there's always, I like to hear this because actually I started a new discipleship program within our church for younger men doing systematic theology. And then eventually getting into just kind of feel them out a little bit, making sure they're solid, but also want to advance. So I tell you, right now I'm very interested in what you're doing, highly interested in what you're doing, and as a good alternative for individuals working families. It's difficult right now being a full-time pastor and taking classes. It's
sure.
It's tough. And so I don't want to sit there and force people to sit there. You need to go to Bible college. I never wanted to do that, and I'm a product of church.
Church training. Discipleship.
So, very interested. But do you also at times say, is there any circumstance in which you'd say there would be some Bible colleges that you would recommend for individuals to go to get faster progress if they want to say, yeah, I don't want to spend 8 years getting this program done. I want to get this more rapidly.
Sure. Well... Hopefully, when we have gifts up and running, they can go at their pace. But see, one of the difficulties we had years ago, Will, is in most Bible colleges that I emphasize, they undermine the authority or sufficiency of Scripture. But beyond that, usually they're not clear on grace, a lot of things. It's very hard to recommend a school. Now, I love Andy Woods, you know, and his teaching. But I don't know that I could recommend all the teachers at the College of Biblical Studies. You know, and obviously you're going to have to spit seed wherever you go somewhat and become develop some discernment. But part of what, and so it's not that I would be opposed if someone from Duluth Bible Church said, I want to take some courses at some other places. You know, hey, you know, if you can be benefited by it and it's a good teacher, do it. But can we wholesale endorse something? Well, see, that was one of the conversations I had with Christopher Cole, because who wanted to come to DBC and speak here. And I said, you know, I just want you to know we have our own Bible Institute, da da da, right on. So it's a little funny to be promoting another school when we have our own. You know, a little awkward in that kind of sense. Though I really did enjoy Dr. Cohn. It was a very good visit.
He's been very instrumental with us.
Yeah. Yeah, praise the Lord. Okay, yes, Pucci? Wait a second, let's get a mic to you.
We
got to
record this.
William?
I'm going to use my deep voice. Thanks for coming. No, I was just going to say the one thing, I don't know if many of y'all know our story. We moved up from Missouri to Duluth Bible, and by the grace of God, I was able to get into the Gibbs program here. And looking back, if I had the option of online versus in person, I wouldn't have the experience I have now. To let you know, online is going to have some deficiencies of not being in a local church if you're someone that's on an island or not in a local church that has sound teaching. So when you say, can you go faster and get the information, you still have to go to the blacktop and apply it in a local church setting for it to be solidified, because you're not going to get, you know, practical application from theory. You have to learn. I mean, there was times when I'd be studying, and I'd go and witness at the fair, and the verses would come to me, and now I can apply it to a person's situation and heart. So that's what the local church advantage is. you can apply a lot of it to a real life situation.
Yeah, thank you. That's very good. And that's why, in a sense, there's four layers to GIPS. And to, in our opinion, the deeper you go, the more benefit there is. Again, there is the independent, then the group, and then the group in the local church, and then the traditional GIPS. And in each one, you have more intense interaction, supervised ministry, so forth. So again, it depends on partly what context are you already functioning in, what opportunities do you already have, and how can you supplement that as needed. And that's why, again, we're glad wherever the Word of God is being taught. We're just really committed to a local church approach to this. Hey, Ann?
So I just thought of a question. If somebody maybe had gone to Bible school, went a year or two and dropped out, now they want to get serious about their study again, is there a way for them to kind of enter where they maybe phase one would be, you know, they've done that or something.
Yeah.
And they test out of things and enter at a different point.
Well, we actually have that very scenario going on in our church right now. We have a person that moved here 2 years ago to be part of DBC. And he is a graduate of a Bible college. He's a graduate of a seminary. You know, and just because he is, we don't just lay hands on him and say, hey, start teaching. I mean, the Bible does say, lay hands on no man hastily, right? And so, you know, he's been a great fit. He and his family really enjoyed him. And now he's starting to teach a little bit in a Romans class that we have going on. And he approached me recently with that very question. In light of my background, would I start at the beginning or what would I do? And I said, let's sit down and talk about it, and we'll figure out a course of action for you in light of what you already know. We don't think you need to repeat certain things. But other things, we want to be sure that you've got a good understanding of such and such. So we're going to have to walk our way through that a little. Secondly, Ann, in the past, remember, if you got out of GIBS, you were out of GIBS. Now with the phases, if you finish phase one and, you know, you get, your wife gets pregnant and you have triplets, you can wait a few years, you know, and pick up phase two. So we're trying to make it a little more accommodating. But remember, we're doing this all in a local church with everything else going on. You know, so it is a major commitment on our part. We're trying to make it as accommodating within the limits that we have. Okay, Matt?
As far as those who teach the classes,
mm-hmm.
are they just leaders here at Duluth? Or if they're from elsewhere, what is your qualification for those who will be teaching the classes?
Yeah, good question. Presently, the elders here are the primary teachers. Though we actually have our All Believers Conference that's coming up here tonight. That is a required class for our GIBS students to sit and listen to 10 sessions of biblical exposition of Hebrews 11. And they will be graded on that in a couple weeks. So we try to utilize just the normal kind of things in the local church. And one of the things I'd like to do is, see, we've had adult Bible electives for the adult Sunday school class in the past. Well, we went from adult Sunday school to having just one major session on Sunday morning. And I'm seriously thinking about going back to that as a means to not only give opportunity for more people to teach, but also we might be able to facilitate this a little faster by utilizing adult Sunday school electives for GIBS students. And so I'm trying to think of ways to speed this along without, one of the problems we have, though, the students say, you know, I can't handle anymore, too. And so we're trying to walk that balance. Because, again, many of them are married. I'll tell you this, we tell them to cut out the fat in their life and become a GIBS student. And yet, it's kind of funny, because over the years, by the time they're done, we figure out, well, this was a class of 10, and there were 17 kids born, and five times they, you know, moved, and, you know, and you look, and, you know, life still goes on, even as a GIBS student. I says, you're not doing that much study. Obviously, you have time for other things. So, so yeah, we try to utilize what we can, Matt. So, now, I will tell you this. When we first started this in 1992, I did not know anyone else that was doing it. Now, I know there were people doing it. I didn't know anybody. So we just started out with what we had. And we actually supplemented with Moody Bible Institute correspondence courses, is what we utilize. And that's why Tom has a degree from Moody as well, right? Yep. And some of the students went on and got degrees from Moody because they already had some of those courses. But we got to a point where we felt like we didn't need any other correspondence courses. We had qualified people and courses already developed so we could do it all in-house. And so we eventually moved to that model as we were able to do it. Okay, other questions you might have? Yes, go ahead, Brad.
If you've taught adult Sunday school in a church and you've taught through, back in what Ann said, if you have prior church teaching experience, if you're a deacon who teaches, would that same option be available to maybe, I don't want to say test out a phase one, but submit things or be interviewed, or should we all start in phase one? I mean, would that be the equivalent of Bible college?
Yeah, I think what I would do is we'd probably address it on a person-by-person basis. And just see. Because I'll tell you this, someone may have a lot of adult Bible Sunday school teaching experience, but how clear are they? I mean, Romans is designed to clear up a lot of things. I mean, or someone can say, hey, I've taught for 20 years, and someone can say, no, really, it was 1 year 20 times. I mean, it depends how clear are they and where are they at. Now, if it's somebody we know, and we know they're grounded in teaching, obviously, we can roll with that better, kind of a deal, versus somebody out there that we have no idea about. So, but like I said, Romans is foundational. That is almost always required, or would be required, because it is the course that we would want taught as well, wherever we go. Now, I will say one other thing when I come about training. We have men in our church who have never gone through Gibbs that are our Bible teachers. They've never gone through Gibbs. In fact, Lord willing, I'm going to Gambia in February. I'm taking two men along with me to help teach Romans, and neither of them are Gibbs students. But they've heard doctrine for years. And they've also been teaching Romans now in these Romans classes that we have. And we believe they're capable of doing it well. And so it's not, again, like we limit, if you're not a Gibbs student, you can't serve in certain ways. But we also recognize some people have more background than others and can serve in various ways more effectively. But we really view the purpose of spiritual leadership to point people to Christ, to teach them the word and equip them, and in a sense, allow them to be successful in the sphere of opportunity in light of their gifts and background that God gives to them. We really want them to succeed. And be faithful. The success ultimately means faithfulness. Faithfulness to what the Lord has called. Not numbers, faithfulness. Okay?
All right, this will be my last one. As far as your church correspondents and pastors or administrators within eldership within the other church, do you have a screening process to make sure that that church is going to teach the information appropriately and not
change up
the information?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, when we do it in a local church group somewhere else, they're going to use our videos. So they'll hear it straight. And secondly, we'll give them a doctrinal statement that they're going to have to agree with. And thirdly, in most cases, we're hoping it's somebody we know or we have some relationship with. Right? Already, North Stonington Bible Church in Connecticut has approached me because they started their Grace Biblical Institute, GBI, a year after we started Gibbs. Because remember, I was friends with the pastor, and we had talked about how to do this, and so they started, and Andy was just there. And so they've been doing this for a number of years, and they've approached us about using Gibbs next year for their in-house training institute. And I know the pastor, so we can work in conjunction. And so some of this, Will, is we're stepping out by faith. We haven't done it this way before. You've heard the seven last words of the church are, we've never done it this way before. You know. So we walk by faith and by Braille at times. Okay, any other questions you might have? These are good questions. Thanks so much. We do have brochures available of the information I've covered. It's just a real cheap copy that I just put together here in the last day or so, and gives you the information that we just covered that's available for you if you want to pick some more up for someone else. We'll probably be tweaking this, you know, in the next few weeks. And again, this won't happen on the online version till September 2017, though it's going to happen on site, a new class in January 2017. And this is a major commitment, again, on the part of our church, but we think it's just so worthwhile. So worthwhile. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your grace and the opportunity to cover these things. And I just pray that if it would please you, that you would raise up Gives Online to minister to certain needs that individuals and churches have, and continue to direct with the traditional way we do it. And Father, it is our desire to just be faithful to you and to your word, and even follow the model of 2 Timothy 2:1 and 2 in the context of a local church, so that the truths that have been learned would be entrusted to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also, from place to place, location to location, and generation to generation. For as Andy pointed out last night, we are only one generation away departing from the faith. And so thank you again that the Lord Jesus is coming, that he's building his church, and that we are privileged to be part of that. And so we commit all of this to you in Jesus' name.